listening to the Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals, the junior mining sector, and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roybern.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another Daily Gold Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. In this episode, we are going to recap the end of the month, but not only the end of the month, the end of the quarter with Vince Lancey. Vince is he's Professor Vinny now, professor at UConn, who has a chance to defend their NCAA basketball title from last year. Vince is also with Echo Bay Futures, and he writes the Gold Fix on Substack. Be sure to check that out, guys. And so, Vince, we've been doing this for the last, I think, 4 or 5 months or so. And so we just decided, let's continue this. We're going to wrap up the market at the end of every month. It's also chart porn for guys like me. You get those monthly candlesticks. And this was also the end of the quarter. So we also have quarterly charts to look at as well. And also, I want to wish all our listeners out there a very happy Easter weekend. So with that said, Vince, got a couple of very important things to talk about today. First, let's get started by talking about the end of the month and the quarter. What happened in gold and silver? Well, they're both up 9% for the month. So, I mean, as we're looking at the end of the month and the quarter, what sticks out to you?
Well, first of all, hi, thanks for having me back. So, yeah, I mean, we've been doing this spontaneously almost every month for the last 3 or 4 months. So yeah, when you know, it was a good idea to make this a regular thing. And going back to November is when I got that month end number, 2009 spot 20, I think it was. And that's why I'm like, yeah, let's keep doing this. Anyway, so this month, this quarter, okay, so the price action, that's going to be entirely up to you in terms of your knowledge, your knowledge base and your historical perspective. But I will say, my comment is, I mean, look, we had a couple things are different about this one, and a couple things are the same, only better. The first thing is it's another all-time high monthly close, and the last one we had was in November, and that's what got this started, if I remember. The November close that we talked about. The second thing is the difference between now and then is the November close, and that wasn't a quarterly close, that was a monthly close. November close, silver didn't really participate, but this time it did. So that's an improvement. The third thing is, on the improvement side, is so much of this move came in the last couple weeks, and on the last trading day of the month, the last 30 minutes of trading were higher. And that's very rare when you have an expiring spot contract. Now, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, except to say that when the spot market, this is fundamentals, right? When the spot market rallies like it did on the close on the 28th, which is the last trading day, and the banks don't make any deliveries of gold, then you've got to say to yourself, they either don't want to give their gold up or they don't have the gold. Now, we know they have the gold. Anyway, what I'm saying is all the things that you've been saying about charts for the last several months, you know, cup and handle. Thank you. Right. Cup and handle. I'm thinking about that head and shoulders in silver now, you know, that little head and shoulders, cup and handle in gold, like being like a, you know, it's going to be one for the record books. And that was a technical comment that came out months before these fundamentals are finally hitting the books or hitting the press. And the fundamentals are things like bullion banks buying on the close at the end of the month, things like 9% moves in the metal, on a monthly close and a quarterly close. They never gave us permission to have that before. And, you know, I'm not even being paranoid. I'm just saying, look, if you're running a book and your book is bearish, you don't want the end of the month to be, you don't want it to be painted. You know, they paint the close. You paint the close to encourage more buying back. And, you know, the buying is coming back. And And they can't stop it anymore. They can slow it down, but they can't stop it. And I'm not even talking about them adversarially. You know, I mean, but the market is, it's a different market now. And certainly, number one, the central banks have been buying for the last 2 years, right? Number two, the sovereign wealth funds have been buying, I believe, for the last 6 months. Number three, institutional money is now buying. Number four, CTAs are buying, but CTAs don't matter in this kind of a market. You know, we talk about them a lot, but they're not drivers in this kind of a market. It's the macro discretionary money. Now, there are fundamental reasons I can sit here and talk to you about for this happening, you know, but they're only going to confirm what the charts told us a couple months ago. And that's what's going on. And you know, that's basically it. I mean, what's your take? Here's my question to you as a customer, right? As a viewer. We had a great monthly close, great quarterly close. So what are we worried about on the downside? Because there's nothing to worry about on the upside, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, the only worry, and I think, you know, you look, gold has had six breakouts, you know, maybe seven in the last 50, 65 years. And I think on two of those, gold broke out and it did a retest. Even in the huge move from 78 to January 1980, it did have a big move, but then it did a quick 20% retest, but then it really took off after that. So I think that is a looming, like if you want to make a bearish case, it would be, you know, gold. Maybe it goes to 2350 or 2500. Then it comes back and it has a retest, which is more, you know, I guess you could say technical than fundamental. I mean, to me, that if we're looking here, thinking about this year, to me, that's like the, you know, I like to talk in realistic terms, not stuff that basically will never happen. But realistically, I think that's the bearish case to make, is that, and I'm not making it, I'm just saying that's the realistic possibility that gold could come back and retest, you know, 2150 at some point.
Right, right. So coming back to test 2000, like it
well,
used
not,
to
not
come
2000.
Back to...
I would think, you know, 2100, maybe 2150, because it depends on how. I mean, if gold goes to 2500, back to 2000, I mean, that would be 20%, which is pretty steep. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't mean to quibble with. I just think the breakout above 2100 is so strong that
I was only picking 2000, not to contradict your number, but to give you an analog. There was a move back in, I don't know, in the 90s, when maybe it was the 80s, I'm not sure, but when gold went from 200 to 250. So if you just like 2,000 to 2,500, 200 to 250, same idea. I forget, I think I saw that on Twitter. It might have been James Anderson, you know, from SD Bullion. But I was like, yeah, that's kind of funny. And then I just started surfing cats or something like that. And I forgot who said it, but it probably was him. So anyway, all right. So a pullback to 2150 and we're not freaking out. That's it. Okay. That's what I need to know. That's my next level now. You know what I mean? That's my downside level. But this has been all institutional, right? I mean, I haven't seen any retail come in. Have you?
No, but one more comment, because I know we're going to get into something very important, but the sovereign wealth funds, and that's mostly because they've been out of treasuries, right? And so I think that's also, because you and I, like, we talked about this, but it hasn't been front and center, how, okay, gold, you know, the money is still going into stocks, but yeah, central banks have been huge for gold, but also it's been the bond bear market. And so I know that I think you spent a lot of time on this on our last one or second to last interview, you know, the relation, you guys who trade gold and bonds. But I think that it seems like not that many people are talking about that, but that's also an important driver, that gold has just been destroying bonds, you know, gold against bonds. I mean, that, because, you know, you've traded that too. Like, that's
right.
That thing's not
very good. I mean, I put it on for a non-fundamental reason. I just put it on for a real simple reason. Like I bought GLD, you know, it was a trade. I bought GLD and I sold TLT. So I bought gold and I sold bonds. And you look at that and you say, wow, that seems like a really crazy Texas hedge. But then if you look at the big picture scenarios, the idea was, if we have inflation, historically gold goes up a little bit, but bonds don't do well, right? So one of those two is going to go up. One of those two is going to make me money, I should say. And if we have stagflation, well, then gold's going to go up and bonds are going to go down. So it'll do well there. And if we have recession, well, bonds will do well and gold will do okay. Like, there was only one scenario that I could come up with that was really disastrous for this trade. And that trade was another COVID thing, a big deflationary crisis where everyone goes out of stocks into bonds, right? And then out of gold as well. The point is, if there's a war, people are going to buy treasuries and gold. If there's peace and there's going to be QE, people are going to buy treasuries and gold. Everything. The point is that those two assets are pretty much lined up as equal partners in the marketplace, with the kicker being, the reason I did this trade was with the kicker being, after the banking crisis, you started seeing people treat the dollar like it was the euro. Oh, we're having problems at the banks. We're going to have to make more debt. Sell my dollars and buy gold. I'm like, what? So it's like we were being treated like there was some sort of a Grexit or Brexit thing going on. Anyway, so it worked out. I don't have that trade on anymore. I probably should, given what's happened. But yes, the whole catalyst for that trade was if foreign countries that are traditionally buyers of treasuries as a store of value with their excess capital while they wait to deploy for other things, and they need to keep dollars around to buy, say, oil with dollars, they'll put it in treasuries and they'll borrow against their treasuries and they'll buy oil and they'll keep their treasuries earning interest and et cetera, et cetera. And that effectively made treasuries for years a better, at least accepted, better store of value as far as central banks and sovereign wealth funds are concerned than gold, because you could earn a yield off of it. So with the Ukraine-Russian thing, right, and with the BRICS thing, and with the lack of, with the breach in trust and the sanctions and the war, well, I don't know. I'm a country in Eastern Europe. I'm like, I don't know that I want to own treasuries anymore, because the U.S. can confiscate them. And then the Saudis say, and the Chinese say, well, you can buy oil with yuan. Say, oh, so I don't need to own dollars? So I can put it in something else? I don't have to put it in that treasuries. You know what? I'll put 10% of it in gold. And that's what started the ball rolling. And then now China is implicitly, if not explicitly, excuse me, backing their currency with gold. That makes it that much easier. So long story short, you're seeing gold now compete with the dollar for a portion of central bank reserves to be held against inflation and as a store of value. So it's not bearish on the dollar per se. We're going to keep vacuuming the dollars up. It's bearish on the world absorbing our debt, which is only going to make them buy even more gold. So yeah, that was the trade. But we are entering into a different era right now. I would say not era. I'd say a different part of the cycle now. Cyclically, I think foreign banks like China are going to be buying treasuries now. I think they started buying them again. That's not necessarily bearish for gold. It's just bullish for treasuries. But that's basically it.
Okay, so gold's been outperforming bonds. Gold has not been outperforming stocks. Obviously, we've talked about that several times. And I'm thinking, you know, it's also probably linked to GLD. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about that, the flows into GLD. I mean, retail flows. And also, I would think, like, just from conventional fund managers, you know, the 60-40 guys, and, you know, they're investing in tech stocks and all that. Like, they don't have a need to buy any GLD or one of the other ETFs. Right. So I get my question for you is, how far can gold go? And also, when are we going to see that change and actually some increased flows into GLD?
Right. And that's the thing. I've been reading bank reports, and for the last 6 months, bank reports have been saying the following. If the American investor comes back, referring to retail and GLD and, you know, domestic stock fund guys, if the retail comes back, then gold's going to explode. And gold has pretty much exploded without the retail coming back. So, or the domestic buying. Well, that's because we're not the ones buying it. China is, BRICS are, Europe is buying, Eastern Europe mostly. Everyone else is buying as they were dumping treasuries. So I guess you're asking a couple questions there. One question is implicitly, right? One question is, why are they not putting their money in gold? And you actually answered it yourself. You know, if stocks are going up, right, they're not going to be worried about gold. So, I mean, we can make the case about stocks go up in early inflation, and that's why they're buying stocks. I don't even think, Jordan, I don't even think they care about inflation. I think the people who aren't buying gold are looking at gold going up 5% with a little bit of envy for a minute, and then they go, how are my stocks doing? Oh, they're up 10%. Who cares? It's kind of like me on a bad day, you know, in my portfolio. You know, let's say I'm 80% gold and 20% Bitcoin. I'm not, but let's just say I am. When Bitcoin goes up, right, I go, well, I wish I had bought more of that, right? But then I look at my gold pool, like, oh, that's up 5%. I don't care, and I go back to what I'm doing, you know. And that's it's kind of like how we cope with our own envy, you know. It's like, if just pretend you're a fiat neo-Keynesian American boomer, you know. You're like, I heard gold's up 10%. It never lasts. How did NVIDIA do today? That's how they're not talking about it on the press. It's not being hammered. These aren't people tuning into your channel. These are people going, it never lasts, right? And the fund managers are going, don't worry about it. It's gold. It doesn't do anything. You want to own AI. You want to own this. And so I personally think, because of how the media operates, because of how the inflation cycle operates, and because of how we've been trained even more now than we were back in the 70s, right? I believe that the retail will be definitely the last to get in. And what makes them get in, I keep asking myself. And I have been asking myself and discussing this with you, and that is, what makes them get in? Well, they're not getting in because they're not going to get in because gold's going up. They're going to get in because stocks are going down. And when stocks go down, they're going to say, oh, shit, where should I put my money? Well, not bonds. I don't want to do that. Then you're going to see that 60-40 portfolio become a 60, say, become a 50-20, you know, 30 type portfolio. Anyway, so we have been talking about that, and you pulled up, you had a couple analogs on that, and so did I. So let's, you know, maybe we should share that, see how accurate it is.
Sure. You want me to pull it up?
Yeah. Pull up that chart that you showed me earlier. For your audience, the question is, my theory is, right? So Jordan and I are talking, right? We're talking off the air, and it's like, when is the American public going to get involved? And we're like, I don't think they're going to get involved until stocks go down, because they're so greedy right now. They have no fear. They don't care about stocks, this gold going up. And then I'm like, when stocks go down, then we're going to see American investors, you know, get plugged in. And you're like, yeah, I have an analog on that. And we started looking at it, and then we started comparing. And sure enough, there is proof. There is proof of that.
Can you pull that up from? Yeah, can you pull that up from the chat box?
Right. So you show me this chart. I'm like, oh yeah, that's really cool. And what did you say, 72 to 75?
Yeah. Well, I mean, more specifically, looking at this, I mean, this was one of the few downturns where you had a complete negative correlation between the stock market and precious metals. And the yellow, for people out there, the yellow, by the way, is that's the time of the recession.
Okay. So just what are they look? What is everyone looking at here? So it's stocks, gold, silver, gold miners. And generally speaking, gold will have a negative correlation to stocks, but not necessarily a complete inversion.
Yes. And so those blue lines, that's the bear market in the stock market from 73 almost through 74. So almost a 2-year bear market. And again, the yellow, that's the recession. That's when the NBER dated the recession.
Okay. So, right. So there we have our inversion, right? So we're going, all right, that's when people start buying gold, when they're, you know, Americans, not the rest of the world. The rest of the world is buying gold because they're worried about dollars, right? And their currencies are already in the crapper, right? So when are Americans going to buy gold? Well, I think when you think about it, Americans don't look at dollars as money. They look at their 401ks as money, you know? So when their 401ks start getting a hit, I think you're going to start seeing the retail and the public and the domestic fund managers, the RA types, buy gold. And here's our proof. Our proof is that people don't care about gold until it's too late. Historically, that's what's happening, you know? Anyway, yeah.
Right. Well, and it also happened from, I know we don't have this chart, but, you know, there was a negative correlation 2001 to 2002. But Vince, I think this is really important because everyone, and I mean, I don't like when it's just hearsay, but people say, oh, well, everyone thinks this, so this won't happen. But a lot of people in precious metals world, like they're just automatically assuming, oh, bear market recession, gold's going to go down. Like it'll go down with the market. Like, yeah, it'll bottom first, but it's going to go down like it did in 2008. And I don't see that happening this time around. And like this chart to me, I mean, this is powerful because I'm thinking, I'm not predicting, but I'm thinking, you know, maybe this is something that we could see play out in the next couple of years where, you know, you have a downturn in the stock market, you have a recession, and, you know, the Fed has to cut rates, you know, or recession, they accelerate cutting rates, money will go into precious metals, and the, you know, the stock market will go down. And then when the market bottoms and eventually turns around, like that would be when precious metals don't fare as well. And so, and I think like this negative correlation, doesn't it make more sense in a stagflationary environment?
Yes.
Because
stagflationary environment, it's way worse. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
This was stagflation in the 70s.
Yeah, this was stagflation in the 70s. You know, you said something, and we didn't talk about this beforehand, but I want to bring it up. What is it you said? You said people, generally speaking, people don't think gold will go up in a recession, right? Okay. And that's based on, you know, relatively recent history. And just bear with me here. Stocks have been chugging along, just incessantly going higher. And if you're listening to legacy media or mainstream media or however you want to, you know, moron media, however you want to talk about it, they're telling you that stocks are going up because if we have a recession, this is key, the Fed's going to ease rates soon. And this is, almost everyone is framing it this way. And then they look at gold and they say, well, gold is going up because everyone is expecting the Fed to ease. Okay. Two things. One, I don't think that's true. Okay. I'm not saying it's 100% not true, but I don't think it's as big of a driver as people think. And two, well, China is the reason they're going up. So number one, the reason I don't think Fed easing is why stocks and gold are going up is because, right, is because, well, for the last three data points that have come out, they've been inflation's higher, economy's lower, stocks go up. Inflation's higher, stocks go up. Inflation's higher, stocks go up. I'm like, well, how could they be easing if stocks are going up? So the stock market is at least in part not discounting the Fed easing. The stock market is discounting. This is from left field, but it's coming about right now. The stock market is discounting something we talked about 6 months ago, but is on the radar again as of 2 days ago. So I'll be the first person talking about it with your people. China is on the verge of starting something called indirect QE, quantitative easing. So direct or indirect, we can debate what that means. But if China starts quantitative easing, that means they're going to buy their own bonds. If they buy their own bonds, that means they're going to print their own money. If they print their own money, that means the dollar is going to get stronger against the yuan, and gold's going to go up because they'll be buying gold. And that's what's happening right now. The dollar's strong. Bonds, U.S. bonds are strong, relatively speaking, right? Chinese bonds are going to be bought by the government. They're going to create money. And so China's QE is floating off. The potential for China's QE coming QE, because they have problems, right? They have the recession to worry about. They need the bazooka of stimulus. We don't need it. I think, frankly, I think Powell has been talking semi-dovish for the last 4 months, but I don't think he's going to ease. And that's, I think, when you start to see this, I hope, right? I don't know. It's always dangerous to say hope. But that's, I think, there's a signpost coming up, Jordan. And that signpost, I think, is this. You know, you talk about the analogy between, say, this chart, 70, what is it, 70, end of 72, 73 to 75. What makes that happen? Well, election happens. Powell hasn't eased, right? China does a QE. Powell, maybe he doesn't ease. Maybe he actually raises. I'm not saying he's going to raise, but he doesn't ease. I don't think he's going to ease. He doesn't ease. And stocks finally get the message and say, oh, crap. And they drop. And people will say, well, if stocks drop, then he'll ease. No, they're not going to ease until unemployment gets really bad. That's when they're going to ease. So stocks will drop and gold will drop, but stocks will drop more. And so this is when I think it happens. And so if China, I'll walk through it very quickly. If China does QE, which I believe they're doing, they're in the process of doing it right now. It's small, but it's going to start getting bigger. Then Powell will not be able to ease because someone else is printing money. And so Powell will say, I'm not going to ease. He's not going to raise, but he's not going to ease. And then our stocks will finally get the message. And as the election comes, nervousness will make them come off a little bit. Unemployment will start to grow, but not hit points that he has to print. And you'll start to see, as we come out of the election, then I think you start to see this concept of gold truly moving inverted to stocks. And you know, I have several reasons for that. And one I want to share with you, it's pretty simple. Every election since the beginning of time in the US, the election happens and we heal. You know, the election happens and we have certainty, a return of certainty. The unknowns are solved. Well, last election, we had the unknowns grow, right? Because of the 2020 discussion about, you know, the votes and Trump versus Biden. Our elections, this election is going to bring about more uncertainty. If either Trump or Biden run, they don't have to win. If either Trump or Biden run and they don't win, half the country is going to be miserable. This election is not going to bring certainty. I think stocks are a sale. I'm speculating. I think U.S. stocks are a sale after the election. I think gold is a buy after the election for the next 4 years because of that. And I think this country is going to have more uncertainty, not less. And I think that's when your correlation comes back, meaning stocks go down and gold goes up. Whether it's a recession or not, I don't know. But I think that's when the American public goes, oh, shit. You know, I think we should own some gold. And that's when you start seeing boomers buy gold.
Yeah. And if you look at the chart, actually, the negative correlation, again, the yellow is the recession. So the negative correlation started, I mean, almost, not 8 or 9 months before the recession actually hit.
Right.
And the other thing I'll mention about the Fed policy, you look at 2007, 2000, other points, when the indicators are showing, the economy's really going towards recession and stock market selling off, that's when the Fed starts easing. So I'm just talking about Fed policy and, the economy from that angle.
Right.
Because maybe I'm going into one of your other reasons, but at this point, the Fed, the market probably peaks around the time, as it usually does. It's going to peak around the time the Fed starts easing. It could be before, it could be a month or two after they do the first cut, like in 2007, you had that August, I think, was the emergency cut. And then, what did the market peaked in October, November? So, but that cutting is actually, that's going to be obviously better for precious metals than the stock market.
Right. The market, to your point, the stock market is a discounter of the future. So by the time the first cut happens, everyone's already been ready for it. On the other hand, gold doesn't believe until it actually happens. You know, think about what happened after 2007. They rescued the market 2007, 2008. And when did gold go up? When did it peak? 2011?
March. Oh, well, yeah, eventually. I thought you were talking about the March.
No, but I'm talking about like by the time the, in other words, the QE started in 2008. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the rate, the emergency rate cuts, and then the QE, and then after stocks took off, gold took off, and then silver took off. You know, so and then miners as well. So I think gold and silver react late to rate cuts, whereas stocks react first and early, to your point.
Right. But that's another, I mean, that to me, that's, I think, because are there other points that you want to make with regard to the negative correlation? Because I think we already covered two of those reasons.
Yeah, you and I were talking about that, right? We were talking about that. Like, I mean, look, to recap my own brain, right? It's like, okay, when is the American public going to get involved? Well, they'll get involved when stocks start to come off, I said. And you're like, oh, yeah, that goes back to the 72, 75. And so after that, we looked at another chart together, you and I. And this chart, it's a little bit busy, right? But the area that you had in red, you know, and with the yellow recession, that's here. This is 73 and that's 75. So this is the area that you were covering. And I said, well, let's look at what happened after that, right? So here's the area that you were covering, these first two sets of arrows. And then this set of arrows, gold goes up again, stocks go down, and then gold spikes, right? 1980, stocks go sideways, gold goes down, stocks go down, and then they recouple for a little bit of a period, and then the whole thing reverses. Gold goes down, stocks go up. So the point is, this is the area that you covered that was most pronounced, but it continues behaviorally for another 8 years. So I don't think I don't think this is your 3 year period that you showed was not an aberration.
Right.
That's the reality of it.
And that speaks to stagflation, basically. Like if we're going into stagflation, then you get this negative correlation.
Yes. Yes. And that's the funny thing, you know. During inflation, I remember as a little kid in the 70s, we didn't think inflation was a bad thing. I mean, we didn't talk about it, right? It wasn't like, it wasn't the family discussion. We were talking about the Phillies or something like that. But when it came up, I remember people saying, oh yeah, the price of things is going up, but we're making more money. It's the same. So that was the working class mindset. Things are going up in price, we're making more money. So the unions would renegotiate. Well, the unions are the retirees, the 401k people. And they're like, the price of things are going up, but my portfolio is going up. I don't care. But 77, so, you know, after 75, when inflation, after 76, inflation dropped and really came in significantly in 76. I think that was because they were getting ready for the bicentennial and they wanted everything to look nice, right? But in 77, stagflation just boomed and just came back with a vengeance. And stocks just went down and sideways for 4 years. And gold went up and super up for 4 years. And during that time frame, it was no longer, here's the parallel. It was no longer, things are going up in price, but I'm making more money. I'm not worried about it. It was, things are going up in price and I'm getting fired. Things are going up in price and my union can't get a raise. Things are going up in price and the Ford plant closed down. Okay. So take that mindset, which was people don't care about the price of gold unless their own personal money is getting slammed. Take that mindset. It was a union mindset then. And now take it here. And it's like, I don't care about the price of gold because my 401k is doing great. But when that 401k downticks, gold is going to become on everyone's mind. And at that point, it'll probably be Chinese central banks selling to American boomers. But that's what's going to happen. It's they don't care about gold until it's too late. And I firmly believe that. And your two-year scenario and then my, you know, five-year like tag on. And I'm like, yeah, this is going to happen. People won't care about gold until stocks go down. That's it. And, you know, the longer stocks go up, the happier I am, you know, because I'm long stocks as well. but I'm not naked long stocks, you know? So anyway, yeah, that's it. Not to mention one other thing. I'm seeing in the press and in certain publications kind of a preparation for gold being an asset class to invest in again. And I hadn't seen that before. I hadn't even seen 2007, 2008. They didn't want us to buy it back then. But this time I'm seeing that. I'm seeing that when HSBC came out with a coin. Yeah, it's paper. It's not gold. It's just, you know, it's a blockchain. It's something wrapped in wrapping paper. But they're getting ready to let people, to encourage people to put their money in gold. Money managers are prepping for it. The World Bank is prepping for it. HSBC has a new product for Hong Kong. M-Trade is going to start working for the BRICS. I think what they're doing is they're creating, we're going to start seeing products. You know, I'm not saying you want to put money in them, but we're going to start seeing products like the Bitcoin ETF to handle the coming demand for gold investment. I truly believe, in my little paranoid way, that the stock market is being pumped up because there's going to be trouble, whether it be recession or stagflation. I think it's going to be more like stagflation. And they're just kind of getting it up before it backs off. And they're getting these gold products ready. There's going to be gold products coming out. And they're getting these gold products ready to handle demand when it comes out. I firmly think that we're probably at the beginning of middle of 1972, to use your analogy. That's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's some news releases that help support your point. Do you want to bring those up?
Yeah, should I?
Share screen again. And we got those just in our chat box. I think there's three.
Yeah, yeah.
HSBC news, the BIS, and the World Bank.
Yeah, I have to rotate. No, not that one. Yeah, here we go. So here's what we're talking about. This is dated. I don't have the exact date on it, but it was dated mid-March. The World Bank put out a huge document called Gold Investing Handbook for Asset Managers. That's like saying, do you need to do something? Here's how to do it. That's the World Bank. The World Bank is the IMF. The World Bank and the IMF don't like gold. They're the ones who smash it, okay? But now the World Bank and the IMF are saying, okay, if you're going to buy gold and we can't stop you, here's how we want you to do it. We want you to put it in these approved funds. We want you to put it in these HSBC things, whatever they are. We want you to put it in these things that we can at least control a little bit, right? So that's the World Bank one. That comes out, right? This comes out. HSBC launches tokenized gold for retail customers in Hong Kong as government pushes for publicly accessible digital assets. Now, Hong Kong is key because Hong Kong is like a Shanghai. Hong Kong is, well, it's bigger than Shanghai. It's the connection from the West to the East. So anything that's launched in Hong Kong will be accepted in China and in the West. Okay, now about this product specifically this product is, it's tokenized gold that gives them the excuse to buy gold, but you're not able to take delivery of gold. So you own, it's kind of like a, not kind of like it is, it's a more advanced version of paper gold. They get to use your buying as an excuse to buy more gold for themselves, but you can't take delivery of it. It's a wonderful, wonderful game. Using public demand to hoard gold, but not letting the public take delivery of gold. They want as much money to go in that as possible. But the point is they're creating products for money managers to get into. You know this shit's going to hit the West.
Yeah.
What's the other one? There was because one other one.
They see what's coming now.
Yeah, exactly. They see what's coming. Like, hey, I heard that people like red shoes, shoes with red painted bottoms. Let's start making those. You know, it's like everyone's going out making their fake Christian Louboutins now. Sorry, I mean, the girls understand. So this is an older picture, but I actually created this picture because no one had it. Enbridge is the BRICS product, and it's the blockchain SWIFT alternative for multipolar international trade. Now, the four spokes, they end in BRICS banks. And the reason this is important for this conversation is the middle at the hub is the BIS. And the BIS is the Bank of International Settlements. And the BIS handles the IMF's money and the World Bank's money. And the BIS is the central banker of central banks. And the BIS is getting involved in what the BRICS are doing. Therefore, they will be getting involved in all the gold that's being offloaded and handled by all these institutions. That's it. So there's a lot of other things, but those are the ones that I think matter the most. The HSBC one, though, is the one that everyone's talking about. So that's the one that I think everyone wants to focus on. So yeah, I'm pretty comfortable. I'm pretty comfortable. You're on mute.
Okay, Vince, one more thing before we wrap up.
Sure.
Silver at 26, because we've talked a lot about gold. So from your perspective, we know when flows will go into gold. And obviously, you know, gold has been moving for all these other reasons. But I mean, how much can silver move in the near term with what's going on? Will gold just eventually drag it higher?
Oh, yeah. okay. To give my perspective on that, we have to go back to something that we were talking about before. And that is, gold is having all these monthly closes now that are strong, these quarterly closes that are strong. I believe that the banks, the bullion banks, the people who make the most money playing from the short side, I don't believe they're making money playing from the short side anymore. I believe they're being encouraged to play from the long side. Now, they don't want it to go up 9% in one day, but they'll tolerate it going up 9% in one month. Now, I believe that, let's put it this way, I believe that the foot is off the throat of gold, and so gold is allowed to rally. I actually believe that silver is allowed to rally now as well, but it isn't for two reasons. One, central banks are buying gold, not silver. It's that simple. It's that simple, okay? Silver historically, not historically, I'd say in the last 20 years, silver has become the worst of both worlds. And I don't mean that. I'm just saying, to me, it's Goldilocks. But to the investors, it's like, if you're a central bank, you're not going to buy silver. You're going to buy gold. Why? Because it's gold. Because it's not industrially used and it takes up less space for the amount of money. So they buy gold. They can't buy silver. I'm pretty sure they can't buy silver. Sovereign wealth funds down the road will start buying silver. But because silver is industrially used, so it's a green metal, it's like copper, it's not pure monetary. And so because of that, anybody who calls up their broker saying, I want to hedge for inflation, well, they're like, I'm not going to tell you to buy silver. I'm going to tell you to buy gold. Like the Western investor and most global investors, I'm not talking about central banks, just investors, regular people, they look at things very specific. I want a cure for that disease. I want pinpointed problems. There's no generalist. Everyone's a specialist. Oh, you have a problem with that? Take this. Take that pill. Take that pill. And so it's like, you worried about inflation? Buy gold. Buy tips. They don't say silver, right? So okay, so now I want to buy something, an economic metal. Well, buy copper. And so silver gets lost in the middle there. So what I believe is that, I will believe that, to summarize, the banks are no longer keeping silver down. Now, I'll hedge that in a second. I believe that silver's down right now because there's no demand the way we want there to be. And so that's going to have to be overcome. And I guess technically is the way to look at silver right now, not fundamentally, even though I like to talk about that stuff. I think technically is the way to go with it. So just my limited technical expertise, I'll say this. If you look at the 26 area with all those monthly long wicks above, you know, right above it, before that, you know, after that $30 run that we had in 21, all those, that used to be the banks selling it, keeping a lid on it. They may be keeping a lid on it to buy gold, maybe keeping a lid on it because they had selling, but I don't think that selling is there anymore. Now, I'm knocking on my head, knocking on wood, but I don't think that selling is there anymore from a structural point of view. We hate silver. We got to keep it down. I think it's just there because people are afraid to buy it. So the next leg higher, which has started, silver is being taken along. So I don't know what the answer is. That area is still no man's land. I feel that silver has been conditioned to stay below that area just because of the lack of central bank buying. I don't think there's any reason for it to be under there anymore. And so to be fair, I had been long on paper for a couple months. And literally just last week, I sold those out, okay, for a profit. And I took that profit and I put it into physical bullion. So that's kind of like how I do things. I'll buy paper when I think it's on the bottom. And then when it goes on the top, I get out of my paper and roll it into physical. And of course, I did that the last two times. We were 26 and we collapsed, you know? So I could be the reason that we're done rallying in silver, but that's what I do. So I believe we're continuing higher this time. I'm not sure, but that's what I believe.
Yeah,
which means I like miners too, right?
Yeah. Stop selling, Vince.
Exactly.
Stop
no, I'm
selling
not,
it.
No, no, it's not me selling that makes it go down, Jordan. It's me taking my longs and getting out of them and rolling into physical.
Okay.
It's like, oh, I'm smart. I bought it at 22. I sold it at 25. I take the $3 in profits and I buy physical with it. And then the market goes down to 20. You know, I'm like, what the hell, you know? But that's me being conditioned, you know? I feel like you know, the rope, the elephant on the rope. It's like, it can't get above 26. It can't get above 26, you know? Anyway, but that's it.
All right. Great job as always, Vince. Before we close, why don't you tell our listeners how they can subscribe to Gold Fix?
Thank you. Yeah. Go to VBL, Victor Boy Larry, goldfix.com. And that'll take you to the site. That's a newsletter. There's a free and premium version. The free version is what it is. You'll get once in a while, get something out there. The premium version is loaded with institutional insights, insights from me as a trader, insights from banks. And I scour things looking for actionable items as well. I don't give out trading advice, but there's a lot of long form reading there. If you want to join premium, I'm going to give, I've done it before, but I'll do it again. I'll give the Daily Gold a 30% off for any Daily Gold viewers, 30% off. But other than that, yeah, just, you know, it's good to be here.
All right. Fantastic, Vince. Thanks so much for coming on. And I guess we'll talk again in 1 month from now.
That's right. And a month from now, if silver and gold are lower, we'll just delete this one. All right. We won't tell anyone about it. All right, man.
Well, no, that just,
by the way,
that just means the banks got a lot more powerful. And Mr. Slammy, they woke Mr. Slammy up.
That's right. We look that. And by the way, your audience is smart. Everyone knows that when the market goes down, you blame the banks. And when the market goes up, you say that you're a genius. And so we're just going to keep doing that.
Right.
Anyway, this has been fun. And I love the new format, Jordan.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning into the Daily Gold Podcast. For more interviews, editorials, and analysis, log on to thedailygold.com. And for premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.